You're listening to Mary Ann Kennedy and World on Three, where tonight's session brings you the sounds of the Blue Ridge Mountains in the hands of a young generation and led by the perfectly named Chance McCoy. And he swears that's his real name too. They started out in fine style at the Maida Vale Studios with Dance All Night with a Bottle in Your Hand. That was Dance All Night with a Bottle in Your Hand, and we have Old Sledge in session here in the Maida Vale Studios for World on Three. And Chance McCoy, the boss man, I think. And joining him is Luke Richardson and Ben Townsend. Now, I was going to assign instruments there according to what we'd heard on the album, but it doesn't quite work like that, Chance.
It's a little tricky. It's sort of a revolving cast of musicians, and we all play fiddle and banjo and guitar.
And sing,
yeah. So it can make for interesting combinations. Wild cards.
We all have beards and long hair.
Yeah.
Does that come as standard with the music?
Actually, it's pretty common to find back home a fiddle player who plays banjo too and guitar. And it's amazing. Sometimes you won't even realize, and then you're just jamming with somebody that maybe you've known for years, and all of a sudden there's not a guitar player, and they just suddenly appear to fill that void, and you're like, wow, you're an amazing guitar player. I never knew that before.
So where is home?
West Virginia. Back in West Virginia, that's where I grew up. And Ben's from West Virginia, too. And Luke's all the way from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Luke, did you have that music surrounding you when you grew up as well?
Well, used to, we had that music, but it sort of, we were talking about this last night, it eventually sort of faded out and turned into something different. and that's probably a result of a lot of the local fiddle contests where people come, really polished fiddlers, what they call contest fiddlers, come in and just try to win money, and it was very discouraging for the local kind of crustier sounding fiddle players. So it was an evolving sort of sound, but there's definitely a music scene, and it was just under a different name. You know, we called it bluegrass. But so I grew up going to a barn every Saturday night and just playing harmonica and just trying to figure out melodies on the instrument and what the deal was with, like, different keys and stuff. So that's how I got started.
And what about you two then? Was the music around you as you were growing up in that small community?
It wasn't for me. I didn't get into it until I was in my 20s. And I actually discovered it through some younger folks who had a speakeasy down on the river. They had the basement of a house that they had spray painted black and hung Christmas lights and had a couple moldy couches. And they were selling beer down there on the weekends. And they formed this band called the Speakeasy Boys. And I joined them on guitar originally. And it was a washtub bass, guitar, mandolin, fiddle, banjo. And it was sort of through them, through younger folks, that I discovered that there was a traditional music scene in West Virginia for the first time. And once I figured out that, then I actually went farther into the mountains and actually found some of the old-timers who were still around playing the music.
And Ben, you've been over here in the mm-hmm. UK before playing with...
I've never played in England.
You've been in Scotland and in Ireland with the Fox Hunt.
With Fox Hunt, yeah.
Yeah. And so for you, what is the background then?
Well, I grew up in my town, our ag teacher in the high school... agricultural, like just the horticultural teacher
future
at the high
Farmers
school.
Future Farmers of America.
Yeah, Future Farmers of America. Like the director of that in our high school played fiddle. And I used to date a girl that played fiddle and used to just like laugh in her face and just be like, yeah, I'm a rocker, you know, I listen to punk rock. I'm not, what on earth are you talking about fiddle music? And then finally, when I was about 17, getting ready to leave home, it took. And I ended up with a banjo, that's a long story, and they ended up teaching me how to play it. And I went to college where he's talking about the speakeasy.
Where Chance was.
Shepherdstown, yeah, and that's how we met. I used to sit in for that banjo player, but I'd start going home, like every weekend I'd go home to play with these old guys back home, Paul Reimsberg, and I don't mean to call him old, but and Andy Herbal and that gang. Steve Ritz is the one that turned me on to playing these guys back in Romney. Just, you know, just guys that play music. And I kind of got sick of playing, like, you know, 1/4 or 5 blues and just, like, jamming the same old solos that I didn't understand. And I ended up out there one night and saw that they had a whole body of music. And that was the end of it. You know, it just took me in. I started playing banjo the next day, and I never stopped.
Let's have another piece of music just now. Tell me a little bit about... it's really lovely, actually. Ain't No Ash.
Yeah, it's in the traditional mountain music scene back home. Most of the material that we perform, we learn from, you know, really old sources or handed down from one fiddler to another for generations. But this next song, Ain't No Ash Will Burn, is kind of unique because it was written by a man named Walt Aldridge, who's still around the music scene, and he's a songwriter from Nashville. So, but it's great because it's one of those songs that's crept into the traditional music scene. And the first time I ever heard it was at Mount Airy's Fiddler Convention in North Carolina. Just there was this girl there singing it, and I thought, oh, it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And it wasn't until about a year or so later that I was able to find it, because if you hear a song and you don't know the name of it, you can't find it necessarily. Mm-hmm. So it took a whole year for that song to come back around and for me to get my hands on it again.
I suppose it's a mark of a good song when it finds its way almost instantly into what people would consider the tradition.
Yeah, and I wait for those for sure. Mm-hmm. Like I have a catalog in my mind of melodies and things that I've heard before, and I'm just waiting for them to come back around because I know those are things that I want to perform, but I don't know what they are yet.
Well, let's hear this one.
Okay, here we go. Thank you.
I've seen snow that fell in May, and I have seen rain on a cloudless day. Some things are all we's bound to change, 'cause there ain't no ash will burn. 'Cause love is a precious thing, I'm told, burns just like West Virginia coal. But when the fire burns out, it's cold. Oh, there ain't no ash will burn. Is not your lot. Well, I can't be something that I'm not. We can't stoke a fire that we ain't got, 'cause there ain't no ash will burn. 'Cause love is a precious thing, I'm told, burns just like West Virginia coal. But when the fire burns out, it's cold. Oh, there ain't no ash will burn. We must leave something dear behind, 'cause there ain't no ash will burn. 'Cause love is a precious thing, I'm told, burns just like West Virginia coal. But when the fire burns out, it's cold. Oh, there ain't no ash will burn.
Old Sledge in session, who are Luke Richardson, Chance McCoy and Ben Townsend. And there's more from them to come on tonight's World on 3. This is Mary-Ann Kennedy. You're listening to Mary-Ann Kennedy here on World on 3, and I had the pleasure a couple of weeks ago of meeting up at the Beebs Maida Vale Studios with Old Sledge, a trio from Virginia's Blue Ridge Mountains, with music to match. And they carried on their session with a traditional tune, Old Beech Leaves. Thank you. We have Old Sledge in the studio playing live in session here for World on 3 in the Maid of Ale studios. I have Chance McCoy, Luke Richardson and Ben Townsend playing for us here. And that next tune there, Old Beech Leaves, Luke, you're taking the lead on this one. Tell us a little bit about it.
So the long story is I befriended a really great fiddler in this music that we play. His name is James Bryan, and he's an older fella. Lives in Alabama, about 3 hours away from where I live, and about every other weekend or so I would go and visit him and hang out for a couple of days. And so I learned a lot of tunes, and I really love the way he plays, and so I would record them on my little tape recorder and then go back and try to figure them out so I could actually play with him. And that's the tune that he taught me. I think a girl named Kelly Jones taught it to him. Kelly's the daughter of one of his friends, Carl Jones. And this tune comes from a great fiddler named Bruce Green.
And how much is that pattern of passing tunes from person to person, how much is that part of your music?
It's part and parcel. It's
the way.
It's an oral tradition.
Yeah.
That's the best way to take the music in.
And that's why there's still a real regionality. Like, even in, if you go to West Virginia and you play in the Eastern Panhandle, it's totally different than the center of the state, and it's totally different than Kanawha County or Clay County. There's still, in our state, because of the geography, there's still really different regional styles.
Does that apply equally today? I mean, when you look down onto that kind of terrain and you can see how all the little valleys and, you know, how communities would be cut off, is it still very much like that today?
Yeah, I mean, what he's talking about with the different styles that he just mentioned in those couple areas is the modern phenomena right now. But I think that back when the roads weren't as good and things like that, I think it was even more so.
Mm-hmm.
But it still exists.
And in a place like Clay County, you still don't go there. People don't go down in there. And so that Doc White sound, like French Carpenter and Doc White, and now it's John Morris, that sound hasn't changed at all because ain't nobody has any reason to go down into Clay County.
Yeah.
And they don't have any reason to leave. You know, they like it there, and so they wouldn't leave home, you know.
If you were going to, folk wanted to find out more about where the roots of your own music lay, who would you name as being your sort of seminal influences?
A lot of West Virginia guys, I know for Ben and I, because that's where we went to learn our music. So there's people like Dave Bing, Jerry and Jesse Milnes, father and son, who are excellent musicians.
Andy Fitzgibbon, if you can find
Andy Fitzgibbon. It's interesting.
You would go to their homes?
Yeah, I was actually just at Andy's house a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And some of those guys are older folks and some are our age or younger.
Yeah.
So we just would go where anybody who was a good musician, we would just go visit them.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some of what is very obviously, you know, a big part of your home and your lives, and you know it sort of comes as a package. Obviously, this is one of the tracks that kind of jumped out of the album when it arrived a while back ahead of your tour, Boats Up the River. There's a little bit told about it on the album, but tell us a bit more.
Well, I was living in West Virginia and I had just planted a garden, and in West Virginia you can't grow anything without protecting it from the deer because there's just thousands of them everywhere. So I planted this garden, and I had planted the garden before I built the fence, unfortunately. So I noticed the deer were starting to slip in and nip at the plants and stuff like that, and I thought, oh man, what am I going to do now? This is a bad situation. I'm going to lose all this hard work before I get my fence built. Well, a neighbor said, you know, what I do is I just take a radio out to my garden and leave it on talk radio all day, and the voices scare the deer away. And I thought, well, that's just ingenious. I'm going to try that out. So I brought a AM/FM cassette radio out to the garden, and in the States, if you're going to do talk radio, exclusively talk radio, 24 hours a day, you have to choose an AM station. And there's not a lot of choices on AM. It's either very religious or very right-wing. So neither one of those options really appealed to me personally and the plants.
And you had the deer's, you know,
yeah,
welfare at heart, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. So, I felt bad for the deer, you know. And the plants were stunted, of course, not growing well. But so I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll make a CD. I had a CD player on it with repeat, and I'll just make a CD and put it on repeat and let it play 24 hours a day out there. So I went on the internet and downloaded some machine gun fire and dog barks and explosions and things like that. And I just thought, well, this is going to be great, but I need to put some music on here, because if I just have explosives and gunfire going off all day in the back and all night, it's going to feel like I'm in a war zone. So what I did was I found some of the spookiest, most ethereal music that I know in the traditional stuff, which is Roscoe Holcomb, who's just a really amazing banjo player who was from Kentucky, and he had what they call the high lonesome sound. And I put sprinkled his music in there with all these sound effects, and put the CD out in the garden and let it play 24 hours a day. And it did the trick for a while, but eventually the deer figured me out and wiped me out. But in the meantime, I got to learn all this beautiful music by heart just by sitting out in the garden weeding. So Boats Up the River was one that just was on that record that I made, the CD that I put together. And I listened to it probably 100 times that summer. So by the end of the summer, I just sat down, picked up the guitar, and just started playing it.
You knew it.
I just knew it. I just knew it right off the bat. And it instantly clicked with me as something that I thought would be something I should perform.
That's fantastic. Well, back home, I have exactly the same problem. It's October, so the deer are rutting. It's nothing like a high, lonesome sound going on at all. It's something completely different. But they still make a mess of the garden, so maybe I'll just go and try that.
Yeah, give it a try.
Ben and Chance and Luke, thank you so much for coming in.
You want to say cheers?
Cheers.
Cheers. All right, here we go.
I believe to my soul, Lord, I'm water.